Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The bases are loaded. The 3-2 pitch with one out, a swing, and a high fly ball left field. And that is over Nootbaar's head, and Nootbaar can't catch it. The ball hits the track. Here comes Canario. The Pirates win 2-1. A single and an RBI. Roy Croft is the loser. Lawrence the winner. And the Pirates take 2 out of 3. They won today in 13, 2-1.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you! Okay, first of all, they didn't die.
It went to the 13th inning.
It's so bad.
I feel like crying. This was like the last Cardinals game of all time. That's how this feels. It has been frustrated. Matt Pauly, host of KMOX's Sports Open Line and the Redbird Rush Hour. He does the Cardinals pre and post game. You've heard him there, too. He's all over the place. Matt, something of a debacle yesterday. I'll let you pick where you want to start. What stands out most to you from that game? The Cardinals losing in 13 innings, 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, there were just so many things that happened in that game, to your point. The decision to send Michael Ciani, the weird play with Thomas Tejesi getting blocked off by a couple runners or a couple fielders that were basically laying down in the lane. Some decisions that were made. Eric Fetty coming out when he did the decision to go to Steven Matz after Ryan Helsley had thrown 10 pitches. Like, it was just one of those. Kevin Wheeler and I had a lot of fun yesterday on the Redbird Rush Hour because all of those kind of inflection points of the game are really fun to talk through.
Yeah, it's been. Well, let me jump to the play at the plate where the pitcher and the catcher for the Pirates ran into each other.
Yeah.
I'm mind blanking. Who was the runner?
It was Cardinals?
Tejesi. Okay. So yeah. With Tejesi, kind of a weird spot because the base path was blocked. So I guess you either go around the pileup, you jump over the pileup. He did hesitate a bit. Do you not put any blame on him because it was such a weird situation, or should he have maybe barreled through a little bit more aggressively?
No, I give him a complete free pass on that one because that's not something that you experience very often. You're running down the line, and then all of a sudden there's two human bodies that are laying literally between third base and home. Like, what do you do in that split second? I think if he does, like, jump over them or make contact with them, at that point the umpire probably calls obstruction and the run scores. Now, I would argue obstruction should have been called no matter what. Like, you create your baseline when you're running. So, like, when you are a runner going from first to second, you establish what your baseline is going to be, and that's what you get. And as a runner, like, if you go out of that baseline on your own, that's, you're not supposed to do that. But if somebody pushes you out of it, then it's obstruction. So I would, you know, the rule book does not say that you have to make contact in a situation for an umpire to call obstruction. So I feel like the umpires should have called obstruction in that moment. But once they didn't, there wasn't really anything that can be done because that's not a reviewable play.
And also, going back to, again, the extra innings, a lot of extra inning games, it seems, so far this season. But, man, the Cardinals cannot get their offense to align with their pitching. Because here you go. Here you have a game where the pitchers, they keep you in it, but you can't score. It's that,
yeah, I mean, look,
that back and forth, the seesaw again.
I get what you're saying, and I think that's true for yesterday. But they've been really good offensively all year long, and they had the first game yesterday where they hadn't scored four runs. So it happens. Like, that's just baseball. That happens a lot, where it's like, what's going on? You sit there and you've been scoring a ton of runs all year long, and then all of a sudden you're playing 13 innings and you score one run and you don't score for the first 11 innings. So I think that's just baseball. I'm not taking too much from that.
How about that start yesterday, though? Six scoreless innings. That was what was he doing right?
Yeah, you know what? I would argue actually that he wasn't like overly sharp in Eric Fetty, because he does issue four walks. So the fact that he does not give a hit up through six innings, like, he really pitched well, but I didn't think he was like dominant. I just thought he had his pitches working. He was able to mostly be around. It was really weird. He kept issuing leadoff walks, and then the Cardinals would turn a double play behind him. So it was like it was taking him a moment to kind of lock in on each inning. But Fetty was really good. He was really good. He doesn't give up a run. He doesn't give up a hit through six innings. There was some controversy after the game because he was lifted with a no-hitter going.
Yeah.
To me, that wasn't even a controversy. Like, he was at 88 pitches through six innings. He was never going to get the no-hitter. So that trying to leave him in just because it was a no-hitter, that's something that I don't agree with. But I did think it was an interesting conversation about should have he tried to go one more inning, because he's at 88 pitches and the bullpen has been used so much lately. Do you bring him back out for the seventh just to try to get one more inning out of him and one less inning on the bullpen? I think that's actually the more interesting conversation to have than should have he been going for the no-hitter, because that just wasn't going to happen yesterday.
Does the type of pitcher that you are determine maybe how many pitches your club wants you throwing, meaning whether you're just, you know, hurling fastballs the whole time, or maybe a more strategic pitcher, and is it maybe not as much pressure on the arm, or no matter what kind of pitcher you are, you're only going to throw so many pitches?
No, it does make a difference. Actually, I talked about this yesterday on Sports Open Line, because I was making the point that I just made, and somebody called up and said, well, what about Paul Skenes? He's this young guy, was cold the other day, he was losing, and he still went out and threw over 90 pitches. Why do the Pirates let him do that? Well, my answer is, Paul Skenes is like, he's a different kind of guy. This dude's a horse. Like, his body is built to throw 100 pitches, and he is a unicorn. Like, those people just do not exist for the most part, but Skenes does. So trying to invoke, well, Paul Skenes did this, so Eric Fetty should have done that, I argue that that's not really a fair comparison, because Skenes is such a different kind of guy. So now, one of the arguments to why Fetty should have actually stayed in longer yesterday is because he's at 88 pitches, and I didn't think there was a lot of stress on his arm. Yeah, he does issue the four walks, but like I said a moment ago, it was a lot of leadoff walks that he got a double play behind, so it was a really stress-free 88. Like, not all 88-pitch outings are created the same, and I thought it was he was kind of free and easy yesterday. You know, as far as his makeup and what he was throwing a lot, he's not a guy that throws super hard. He throws that sinker a lot. That was his number one pitch. That was something that maxed out at about 93 miles per hour yesterday. He's going to go throw the sweeper. That's a big pitch for him. So he's a sweeper, changeup, sinker kind of guy. He'll throw the cutter as well. But no, I mean, this guy isn't a super high velocity guy. So that would actually lead towards him being somebody who maybe could go a little bit longer than he did yesterday.
So, Matt, now they come back to town on Friday. They take on Philadelphia. I get frustrated early in the season when we have these days off, because I want to get into the routine of watching Cardinal and listening to Cardinal baseball every day. How important are these days off at the beginning of a season?
They're big because pitching injuries are more prevalent early on in the season. And I think you're going back to what we were just talking about a moment ago. That's part of the reason why Eric Fetty gets lifted after 88 pitches. They are clearly trying to ease these pitchers into the season and not put too much stress on them right at the beginning of the year. Major League Baseball did this big study, and it was all about pitching injuries. And what you're going to learn is that pitching injuries happen a lot more often during spring training and during the first month of the season than they do the rest of the time. So getting these off days, getting a chance to reset your bullpen, giving everybody an extra day, that's key. And I know it's frustrating because, like you said, there's people who want to watch and listen to baseball every single day, mm-hmm. but these off days are pretty darn important.
All right. This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Matt, we got a Blues fan complaining on the text line that we're only a handful of games into the Cardinals season, but the Blues are in a playoff race. So let's talk St. Louis Blues because they did lose to the Edmonton Oilers 4-3 last night. And you gotta hand it to the Oilers because they were missing Leon Draisaitl, an absolute stud, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, Matthias Ekholm, Jake Walman. They only dressed 5 defensemen, but superstar Connor McDavid, he returned to the lineup for the first time since March 20th, and he always impacts a game. So a tough loss for the Blues, a gutsy win for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, that's frustrating because you were, 21 seconds away from getting at least a point when Connor Brown scores that goal last night. And the Blues got off to a really good start. You know, that was there was the play where basically a skate was coming in on the neck of Jordan Binnington, and then he goes after the guy. Like, that's a really scary situation. And then Ryan Suter scores the shorty just a few moments later. So it was a good start for the team. Obviously, they were able to tie the game up twice in the third period with Kyrou and Buchnevich each scoring. That's a frustrating loss. You want to secure your playoff spot, and you just want to have a little bit of momentum. And anytime you have a long winning streak and then you lose a game, I'm always worried about that exhale.
Yeah.
That, you know, it takes a moment or so to get locked back in. So an unfortunate loss last night for the Blues. I still think they are in really good shape for where they're at. But at the very least, you really wish they could have at least gotten that point last night that they were 21 seconds away from getting.
Well, and that's right. And it's kind of like the last few minutes of the game are the most uncertain for me when it comes to the Blues. Not because if you're, let's say you're ahead, right, you're playing 6-on-5, whether it's a tied game, whatever it may be, those last few minutes of the game are the only minutes that concern me about this team because when you start to see a pattern that somehow something's breaking down. Now, granted, they had a 12-game winning streak, and I was complaining about this, so that's probably me, you know, splitting hairs here. And Connor McDavid, out of the penalty box, right, anytime he's on the ice, his ability to assist, create plays, make goals happen, make high-quality scoring chances happen. There's no one else like him out there. But a little frustrating, like you said, because the points are so valuable.
Yeah, you want to get that playoff spot locked in. And, you know, let's also give the Blues credit. They've had a lot of situations late in regulation during that winning streak where they were tied and they got the game winner, or they were down a goal and they were able to force overtime. So the final few moments of Blues games for the last month or so, it's been wild, and there's been a lot of good things that have happened, some not so good things that have happened. Yesterday goes under that not so good umbrella.
Yep. Well, Matt, do we have Sports Open Line tonight, correct?
We do. Yeah, full 2-hour program this evening.
Nice. That's a don't come all the time with all the Cardinal games we've got. Anything you want to let the people know about it?
I think we're going to have a Battlehawks player on tonight, and I think Taylor Twellman is going to join us tonight, so we're working on a few things.
Excellent. Good. Looking forward to 6 to 8 on 104.1 yes. FM, Matt Pauly.
You said that like it was a question, 6 to 8.
I know. You know, I'm doubting everything, Matt, because I've decided that David Freese should be in the Cardinals Hall of Fame after originally not thinking he should, so I just think I'm an idiot. So now I doubt everything.
I respect his decision when he made it last year. That was last year, right? It was 2 years ago. Anyways, whenever he made that decision, I respected the decision that he made. But I'm a big believer that Hall of Fames are like they're for the fans, right?
Yeah.
It's for the player, but it's also for the fans. And if fans vote the guy in, I kind of lament on his behalf that he felt the way that he felt because fans voted him in. I would have loved for him to accept the honor, but I also respect him and understand the reason he didn't.
Thank you, Matt.
You bet.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.